Again, we go to the 23rd Psalm, and I will read the Psalm entirely. I made mention when we started this Psalm that you might teach a child 2 years or under to quote this Psalm, but the contents of the Psalm cannot be exhausted or fully understood if you would live as long as Methuselah and pursue it every day of your life. So, don't think because you know how to quote it that you know it. You don't know it. This psalm, without question, if you'll notice, it refers almost exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could never exhaust him, so you could never exhaust this psalm. Let me read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The last three Sunday mornings we examined this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I made mention of the fact that if you wanted to bring that verse down to one word, you would have to use the word assurance. We're coming to value assurance more and more as we see children grow up in homes where everything is topsy-turvy, no true headship, or discipline, or true love. And we see what results in the lives of these children. Anything and everything. We see our farmers out there. They say we can't farm without government help. You see, we have coddled and brought about something that now is like a monster. Don't you tell me about farming. I was raised on a farm. And no one helped. We just simply dug it out and lived with what we had. Now, I know that there can be illness and things overtake people, but it overtook my family, and when my mother paid the last bill for my father, she had a $5 bill left and lost that on the way to bury my father. So as one of 8 children at home, the oldest 16, don't you try to tell me that you have to have someone to float your boat. My mother said, it's out there. You work and get it. And it's a greater shame to be a coward than it is to be poor. Well, I'm not going to give you a political lesson this morning. I'm simply going to say that everybody wants assurance. You want, and Jesus said, you see an enemy coming, And you know you can't meet him with your forces. While he's yet a way off, you send and sue for peace. Now God's precious people are backed by God himself. And if there's a failure in your life or mine, it'll be because we failed to take a hold of the grace. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. Not barely get by and scratch your way through and lie there like a panting lizard and wonder how you got out of it. You can whip anything God leads you to whip. David, go on out there and take him. I know he's a giant. I know all about it. But I say, go get him. And he did. When the Spirit of God would come on Samson, he could do anything. Anything. Now you say he must have been a big, strong man. If he had have been, the Philistines would have guessed right away where his strength lay. The Apostle Paul could not be as strong as God wanted him to until God reduced him through an affliction, a thorn in the flesh that made him weak. You see, in weakness, you can take a hold of God and you can do anything he wants you to do. Now, he don't want me to go out here and part the Red Sea again. We got airplanes. We'll fly over that thing. See? He don't want me to stop a river. I don't suppose in my lifetime I'll ever need to stop the sun. But I'll tell you, if he puts me in a predicament where he said, do it, then I could do it. See, God's not a liar. You see, some people read some things and then they're going to be big and impressive. One of the greatest things you can learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is what he wasn't. He shall not cry, nor lift his voice in the streets, saying, here am I. If you wonder why I never advertise, I read that. God will bring his sheep to me that are hungry. And by God's grace, I'll feed them. All right. Now, David here, he said, Brother Hill, I wish you'd speak on providence. I said, well, we'll be examining it pretty soon in that psalm. And that's what this, if I were going to reduce it to one word, this second verse, I would say, well, I'll put two words, divine providence. Divine providence. Now, what do we mean by providence? Is it foresight? Or is it government? Is it the interruption of order? Or is it a part of the order that it's supposed to interrupt? Where does providence begin? And where does it end? What does it include? What does it exclude? Is it for individuals or just nations? Does it operate on us irresistibly, or are we free to go our way if we so choose? These are questions that you must think about when you think about divine providence. Now, one question underlies the entire matter, and it's simply this. What is God willing to be to us, that is, in our daily life? Is he interested really in my downsetting, my uprising, my thought afar? Is he really with me if I would take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the earth? Would he be there? These are things we need to think about. Now, all of this is answered in this second verse. He leadeth me. He maketh me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. So first, it teaches that there is a fountain of divine providence, and it's not a blind faith, but a living and a personal shepherd who holds our world and its winds in his fist. And all that is in it, he's in control. Now, you may not think he's in control, but he's in control. He's the king of everything, but thank God he's my shepherd. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me by the still waters. Now, the New Testament, if you know it, brings him so preciously near to us. It shows him to be a personal shepherd to all believers. Where the Old Testament, though it also shows him to be personal and being essential to the strength of Israel's faith, however, Israel was prone to make him an exclusive shepherd, denying him to all others. God's promises, for an example, to Abraham seem to indicate this. That is, to the casual reader. He said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thee great. Isn't that amazing? And Hagar, as she was found in that wilderness dying of thirst, she cried, Thou God seest me. You see me? You see me? Jacob vowed, If thou wilt be with me, God had just told him he was going to, but if thou wilt be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Isn't that amazing? That's just like you and me. To Israel in Egypt, God said, I have surely visited you and seeing that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt. And then the Psalms, under every form of expression and experience, reveal David's shepherd was above him. He was around him. He ruled the world for his sake. He covered his head in the day of battle. He listened to his prayers and caught all of his tears in a bottle. Isn't that amazing? God's saving your tears if they're the right kind of tears. You see, you didn't want to cry, but he wanted some of your tears. Now, I don't know just what all he's going to do with it. I do know that he said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. But David was the apple of his eye. The Song of Solomon, Shulamite said, My beloved is mine, and I am his. And to Jeremiah, God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now this was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament he came and walked with us in a body likened to our body for over 33 years. And so we must realize that we can't separate, however, from this personal shepherd, his personal will. As man would, as man wouldn't be a man without a will. God could not be God without a will. Don't you know that? But then, I have to wonder why so many believers are afraid of the sovereignty of God. Why are so many believers drawing back? They don't want God to have His way. Well, precious hearts, no doubt, it's because of an ignorance of His nature. We pointed out in the previous mornings how no one could possibly be as good, as tender, as merciful, and we could go on, no spot in him. David said, sweeter than the honeycomb. But now, to have a will without character, we know can be a terrible thing. It can bring about awful results. For an example, Joseph Stalin. He had a will. And millions died. Hitler had a will. Millions died. We could go back through history and see how a will without certain things can be a horrible thing. And so, if our shepherd were vindictive, if he were just a cruel tyrant who likes to see pain and suffering and blood, what would it be? For you do understand he's omnipotent, and he could torture us at will any moment he wanted to. But you see, our shepherd is the loving gift of a God. If you wanted to describe him, you'd say, God is love. He's love. Oh, no. Why does he do this to me? I've had several in my years in the ministry. Someone died. And they said, well, I can never forgive God for that. You stupid fool. You think of all those little babies dying over there in Africa. And isn't it a pitiful thing? But God's being merciful. Let them be raised to be communists and he'll have to kill them forever. You see, you just don't look beneath what God might allow. But, dear ones, as Exodus 34, 5 and 7, and this was at the giving of the second tables of law, God said, now Moses, you come on up here. I'm gonna give you the writing that was on the first tables again. He said, put a boundary around about it. Don't let anyone try to come but me. I mean, but you. Anyone that tries to come along with you, I'll kill him. Now you see, you're dealing there with God's holiness. They had already broken the law, which would have killed them if God is just going to be holy, vindictive, If he just wanted to destroy them, he had every reason to destroy them without the law. Don't you know that God had every reason to let us go to hell? But God so loved that he gave, not willing that any should perish. But we read, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord God, vindicative, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy. He's rich in mercy, but he kept mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And yet that will by no means clear the guilty. You better get something done about your sin. God won't clear the guilty. He'll have to deal with the guilty. But he's got a way for you to be his child. He's got a way to remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. He has a way to cover forever what you've been and what you are. Hide it away, never to be remembered against you anymore. So he is not only holy, he's merciful. A Savior whose sovereignty is simply the exercise of that mercy. Psalms 25:10 said, for all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant. See there, Brother Hill? It said, keep his covenant. What is keeping his covenant? It's faith in what he said. You see, dear ones, he longs for his children to mature. He wants you to be somebody. He wants to be proud of you, in a sense. And so he wants you to mature. He wants you to... You have no idea the wealth that God is. He's made his son an heir of all things. And he's fixed it up that you can be a joint heir with his son. That ought to almost burn your backbone. Talk about a charge. But he wants you to mature with his sons, so he hastens out of love to deliver us and give us hinds feet so that we might be set upon our high places. He's got a high place for you. So we look on divine providence in the light of divine sovereignty, knowing him as he is, instead of being afraid, we will exercise the right and exclaim with the Apostle Paul, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding. Now let's realize divine providence is simply the acting out of the divine will. And this is a will that is irresponsible save to the harmony of God's own perfections. And it's irresistible as to its final result, that of his eternal purpose. God's going to have his way. Don't you know that? Sure. He's not going to sit down and counsel with me and say, now, Hill, what do you think I ought to do? He didn't do that with Moses. He didn't do that with David. He didn't do that with Paul. If anybody could have changed God, Paul would, when I sought him three times. He said, now, Paul, I've got a purpose. And I know what's best. And we're going to work my purpose out, not yours. Now, you want me to take this affliction from you. I could easily do it, Paul. Sure. But if I did, I know that big swelled head of yours. Because I saw it when you walked around like a peacock on the road to Damascus. Now, I'm not going to allow that to come your way again. So I'm just going to keep you under. So my strength can be made perfect in you. Huh? You get the drift of what this is saying? I hope you will, because you'll make a mistake if you don't. However, this in no way limits our freedom of choice. And if this were true, it would take away any responsibility that is yours and mine. Dear ones, this will is the mainspring of all godly zeal. His will. For it is not His will that any should perish. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, you don't have to be saved. You can choose not to be saved. And you don't have to know the truth. You can choose not to know the truth. You can say, my church don't believe that. And this, and this, and this. And you can just slip right on down through the paths of life and come up, if you are a child of God, robbed of that joint inheritance that you could have with Christ. That's the reason Hagin says, I got to get back up here. Something more valuable than what's down there. So, however, we must learn to receive and trust His will, to love it, and to do it, and if necessary, suffer with it. Did you hear that? Let me tell you. Now, if you think I'd have made a choice to go out there and tear this old knee up, that hurts me yet. No. But I can look back from this pulpit this morning and tell you that opened one of the greatest gates of glory to my life that has come to this time. And you that have been here as much as 2 years, it was almost 2 years ago that this happened. You watched God take me. His divine will, my will. Huh? Huh? Thank God I could say, not my will. What about you? Well, now this brings us to the result of divine providence. What? Green pasture. Still water. I thought as I was traveling through England recently, I was utterly amazed at how green the fields were in the wintertime. Leslie took some pictures of the sheep. She's got some pictures of them out in a luscious green pasture, where it doesn't take long to fill up, and where the animal lies down to browse. Close by, not shallow little babbling brooks, but deep pools filled with refreshing water. This pictures the abundance of God. Now, we'll go some further than this in future lessons if the Lord dares. We'll show you that the paths sometimes lead to barren rocks and searing sands. If Jesus tarry, if not, why, if you're around here and I'm not, I'm going to be with the shepherd and we're going to be taken off across the everlasting hills of the glory. Huh? Oh, I have no objection to that. Well, anyway, now let's get back to it. So, to know the Lord is to know this is true at all times. All seasons, all places, all countries. It was true of Joseph. Can you imagine how Joseph felt with all those big dreams? His father, his mother, his brothers, all of them bowing down to him. Now the purpose of God did not fail, but he had to put poor Joseph through a few lessons before he put him in that place. I suspect if he'd exalted him to that place the day after they threw him in that cistern, I know what I'd have done. When they came to me hungry, I know what I'd have done. I'd have said, "You dirty, rotten rats, throw him in a dungeon." But after the years of training, you know what that man said? He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Oh, to trust the shepherd. He's getting us ready for a throne, to rule and reign with him. Sure he is. Just trust him. He gave us a better vision and dream than he ever gave Joseph. You sit here, don't you realize that you have an opening to the unsearchable riches of Christ in the gospel of the Apostle Paul that he calls my gospel? He said, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I might preach among you rats." He didn't say it like that, did he? But that's what it added up to. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You miss out, it's going to be nobody's fault but yours. And so, this was true of Elijah, Cherith, Paul in his dungeon. David's way of saying it was, "He leadeth me. He maketh me." And Paul's way of saying it was, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So doubtless, our greatest victory is to stay within divine boundaries and trust our shepherd in the land. Where does he want me? I can take off anytime I so choose. He don't have any bonds on me. He don't have any prison walls around me. Don't you know I've told you that I've stopped preaching I don't know how many times. Now, I was determined if I preached, I'd tell the truth. But oh, I'll tell you, you don't know. You might envy me coming to this place. You don't know how reluctant I am to come to this place most of the time. You know, Brother Gies, I should have retired 10 years ago. And I could have retired 13 years ago. See, I could have took an out. You've heard that old expression. People ask me, Brother Hill, when are you going to retire? Well, I said, they just keep retreading me down there. So, the greatest victory we can have is stay within divine boundaries and trust our shepherd in the land, moving only when he says move, knowing even though the fig, the vine, the olive, the meat from the field, the flocks and the herds are not there. If he says, this is the place. Go out there by a chariot. Over there. There's a widow woman I have commanded to feed you. Can you imagine the courage it must have taken for old Elijah when she was going out with that little handful of meal and that little few drops of oil in her cruse? Can you imagine the courage it took him and the faith it took him to said, give me first? Huh? That dirty, thoughtless rat. Imagine doing a poor widow woman and her starving child like that. Huh? I tell you, they were about to see a barrel that wouldn't waste and a cruise that wouldn't waste. You can empty out your last drops, but if you're believing God and where He wants you to be, why, He commands the winds, the birds. He could just lift up a bunch of grasshoppers and put poor old Pharaoh on his knees. Begging Moses, never begging God. Well, if he says this is the place, he's able for the place. Remember how Naomi got up and left Bethlehem, the house of bread, under the pressure of the drought? Years later, they said, this is Naomi. She said, don't call me that anymore. Call me bitter. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. You go away from the house of bread. I don't know how soon you'll find it out. But one day you'll find out that you traded your birthright for a mess of pottage. So, don't you know He's able for the place? All things work together for good to them that love Him. Now we must realize that the soul, like the earth, has its appointed seasons. Hot, cold, dry, wet, so on. Thus, to God, if you're going to go with Him, you have to understand that the pastures won't always be green, and the waters won't always be deep pools, but God is there. For 40 years, approximately, in a wilderness with nothing. Don't you, if some fella could come up with an invention that your clothes never wore out. 40 years? Well, the only reason we would buy clothes then would be for style. That's about the only reason some people buy them now. But, see, dear hearts, God is able to make all grace abound toward us. Israel found Jehovah able When He moves you out, remember His salvation still is new every morning. So visible things may be exhausted, but the shepherd hasn't gone broke. There are times as we look back, we realize the enriching experiences that were ours at which we murmured when they overtook us. The 73rd Psalm says something that makes this real. The psalmist said, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee." So we learn both to be abased and how to abound. And we find the divine providence is simply to be and have the arrangement of our life by an omniscient shepherd. Job said, "He knows the way I take. He's been there. Don't you know He knows where every pebble is? He knows where every pitfall is." You say, "Well, why'd He let me get into it?" "So I'd know better how to trust Him." Do you believe His word? Well, supposing the roof falls in on you, do you believe it? Supposing we stand by a deathbed, do we still believe it? What about it? Now, that don't mean all things are working together for good to everybody, but to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So precious hearts, He arranges not just the bright side, but the dark side. Sickness as well as health, death as well as life, loss as well as gain, peril as well as safety, shipwrecked by sea and accident by land. Regardless of what you think, if you say, "Your will be done," it will all work for your good. You can't know the Lord and not the power of His resurrection. You just can't. You can't really know the Lord and not know the fellowship of His sufferings to be made conformable to His death. You'll never know Him. Now, I never said have Him as a Savior. I know your wife, Brother Geese. But I don't. See? I'm acquainted with your wife. I don't know her. You may not fully know her, but you should know her. See? A lot of people are acquainted with the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. If they knew Him, they'd never pull back and complain when the thing don't seem to go like they thought it ought to go. He's not going to go according to this. He's going to go according to this. Well, I'm about over. Through. So, precious hearts, to be a joint heir of that eternal weight of glory is to have the resources of the divine treasury back of us and the love of God as our possession. Now, vision our reward for just a moment before I close. All God is, everything He has, is for His child. Huh? Do you understand that? When He gave you His Son, what did He have left? Nothing. All things were made by Him and for Him, and without Him does nothing consist. He's everything. He's the sum and the substance of everything. Paul, understanding this, he said, "Well, how now that He, when sinners He gave us His Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So, you must realize all that God is, all that He has, He so loved, He gave it to you. Huh? Did Paul say all things are... who? All things are whose? Yours! Huh? Oh, yes. Well, you say, if all things are mine, why can't I go out here and be a millionaire in the morning? That'd be like giving a loaded, hair-triggered 45 to a little child that was crawling around on the floor. You'd blow your brains out. He loves you. He knows exactly what to give you. He knows exactly about your down setting, your uprising, your thought afar. He numbers the hair in your head. So, precious hearts, the outward features of our life may not be what we would choose. We may wish for things that can never come to us, and we might wish away some things that just simply won't go away. But it's faith that overcomes the world, not a sense of enjoyment. The end of life is not personal happiness, but the image and the glory of God. The same love that richly gives us what is good for us is the love that denies us what isn't good for us. God is just in all His ways, so it's often God's way with those that love Him best. Not as a punishment, but as a destruction. I mean a distinct privilege to teach us in sufferings, in privations, cast down, not forsaken. Oh, you know how we came to you. Oh, you know how it was. I didn't even lean to my own understanding. I didn't come to you with fair speeches. That educated man, that brilliant man, he'd found that all of that apart from God was just so much trash. The things I once loved, I now hate. The things that were gains to me, I counted them loss for Christ. Oh, that I may win Him. Is that what you want? Not, oh, that I might finally be saved. Don't be ridiculous. That I might win Him. Be found in Him, having not mine own righteousness. That's the reason He wrote the letter to the Colossians and to the Galatians and so on. They were going to keep days and be good. They were going to fast and be good. They were going to not eat certain meats and be good. Oh, God love you. He's good. He wants to come into your life and be your goodness. He wants to be your sanctification, your redemption, your salvation to the full. He wants to be your all in all. Give your life to the shepherd. Oh, you say, if I do that, I might have to give up something. I buried a young woman. She said, Brother Hill, if I'd yield to the Lord, he might want me to go to South America. Just 10 days, I think, or 2 weeks later, I buried her. Beautiful young woman. God said, why cumbereth it the ground? Just cut it down. He was merciful to her to take her. Oh, yeah, such a beautiful young woman. If I'm not mistaken, she was 21. Beautiful. She has three brothers that are doctors in this city that climbed and appreciate Jonas Gordon. Is that right, Brother Goodrick? I think that must be about right. Couldn't be in sympathy when God saved Nineveh. But oh, how he appreciated that little gourd that grew up over his head. Shaded him from the hot sun. But God sent a worm. You better watch out. He may have a worm for you. Don't you know that? But he made his son to be a worm so you wouldn't have to fool with a worm. Well, I'm going to close. Now, Paul's life was doubtless the noblest, the most successful life apart from Jesus Christ that this world ever seen. And yet, read his record and you'll find it was the most unpleasant. He never throwed me in jail once. I've never been shipwrecked one time. Huh? Thrice was I shipwrecked. Oh, where was that shepherd? You Romans, I'm praying for a prosperous journey to come to you. Oh, can you see that storm coming down on that sea? Where was God? Where was the Lord that stilled the waves and hushed the winds? They wanted to answer Paul's prayer. So he let that ship be destroyed. Paul swam ashore. First thing he did after they made a fire to kind of dry their clothes out, you know what? A serpent came out of the bushes, out of those twigs, and bit him. When them heathen looked at him, they said he'd have dropped dead now in just a second. Must have been one of them bushmasters or something. And lo and behold, just like old Nebuchadnezzar. Well, what in the world is going on here? What about this? Why, he isn't excited. He just shook that thing off in the fire and gone about his business. You know what happened? All the people on that island got saved. You tell me about a prosperous journey? Why, you couldn't have a more prosperous journey. Well, I could preach to you all day, but I know you don't want me to. Therefore, our way may face trouble. It may face distress. There may be perplexity awaiting you, but never... never will he forsake you. Never will you be destroyed. You may see despair. You may see the enemy ride over your head. You may see fools riding and you a prince walking. But don't let it bother you. You're not home yet. Let's pray. Il vous conduit dans la paix de la mer, non.
forth not fruit is purged, but that branch that bringeth forth fruit is purged, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Oh, yes.
If you put your life in me, I shall make you fruitful, for I have given you all things, oh, and I should be in heaven to you all things if you will trust.
Amen.